Oh, it's
worked.
It's
fantastic.
We are through.
Fantastic. So,
yes,
you're
I
in
am.
Dubai, yeah?
So,
Is that
yeah, we
correct?
have some shady problems with internet over here, so I apologize. But I am here now, which is all good.
Fantastic. Well, firstly, thank you so much for taking the moment out to spend time with the community to answer some questions and just let the community get to know you, everything that you guys are doing, all the amazing and incredible work you're doing. So if we can just start from the beginning. Firstly, do you have an anxiety story for yourself? Have you ever dealt with anxiety? And secondly, just everything that you guys
Yeah,
are
man.
doing
So
over
first of
there.
all, cheers, Dean, for letting me come on the live. I really appreciate it. So yeah, I guess with myself, just for anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Jack, and I run a company called Awaken. We're an online therapy and coaching company. But myself personally, I've always struggled a little bit with anxiety. I've always been quite an obsessive person who's been very latched on to different things throughout my life. When I was younger, it was tennis, and I was a very high level athlete. And the kind of obsession latches on something. And when I don't have that and I don't have an outlet for that energy, that's when the anxiety comes in. So I guess one of the biggest stories for me when I had anxiety was COVID-19, which was obviously an absolute nightmare for a lot of people. I'm someone who likes freedom. I like to not feel trapped. I like to be able to do what I want. And although I was very fortunate, I was living in the UK, we have a little field, I had space to go, I could walk the dogs and stuff. My anxiety was through the roof. And I remember I felt so stupid because I was in this field, had so much space around me, and yet in my mind, all these walls were closing in. And I was like, ah, this is not good. This is not ideal. So yeah, I was in that situation. I thought, this is crazy because, you know, you always associate anxiety perhaps with the most challenging times. And I was in a situation which wasn't really objectively that challenging. I was just there. And then, yeah, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, this is pretty bad. This is pretty intense. And this is like almost debilitating if you just kept with it. So that was part of my process of why I set up my company, because I was like, this is horrible. And, you know, touch wood, I'm one of the happier human beings on this planet. I'm very fortunate. I do a lot to keep my mental health in check. But I couldn't believe how bad it was, because you hear about people saying anxiety, feeling anxious, and we often get those two things mixed up. Like feeling anxious is probably a little bit different to anxiety, and then the next level is like panic attack and then like panic disorder. So these different like levels are very important to differentiate from, because that blanket word definitely doesn't cover the full spectrum. So in that moment, I was as close as I can understand to having a panic attack. I was really in a bad way. And yeah, I wanted to understand myself, and I wanted to understand, okay, well, you're in a great situation. How are you supposed to get out of it? And through learning about myself, and obviously I've got two masters now in psychology, I'm doing my PhD in consciousness. I'm getting towards understanding the nuances of anxiety and how we can start to optimize our lifestyles so we reduce the likelihood of having it.
That's really interesting. And like you say, a lot of anxiety disorders and panic disorders can occur from places that are not typically dangerous.
Yep.
So someone could be going shopping for years, and then suddenly out of the blue in the middle of a shopping center, they have a panic attack. And then because of those intense symptoms, they then start to avoid that situation. And suddenly shopping becomes the worst enemy. It becomes something that's dangerous and something that should be avoided at all costs in the person's mind. So how did you, how were you the next time that you went on that field, just out of interest? Did it spike your anxiety further, or was it just a one-time
occurrence for
you?
It was obviously that moment was the moment that I experienced it. And I actually didn't experience it to that level again. But I had a lot of things going on in my personal life. I just had a breakup. You know, I was with my family. And obviously when we're in COVID, you get tension within your family. So there was lots of things that built up. And that was just the outlet. But it wasn't the moment that the anxiety was caused. Like often we blame the moment, but we don't blame the circumstances that lead to the moment. And that was just the moment. But what had led to that moment was the kind of real stuff. So I had to really start to address those things that have happened. I think we have that tendency to push things under the rug. I definitely do. And then after that, I was okay. I did actually, I went through a bit of an avoidance stage with that field. I was like, oh no, I've got to keep my distance for a little bit. worked on myself, did all the things that I was supposed to do. And you know what? It took a lot longer than I thought it would. I've always been someone who can kind of get out of situations very quickly, kind of feel like I find the solutions. But it takes time. It really does. It's not a quick fix by any means.
Yeah, so tell me about the company. So you set up the company. What are you guys doing? And how can our community benefit from what you guys are doing as well?
We set up a company. It's been 6 years in the making now overall. So this incident was kind of midway through. It had already been set up. So we are an online therapy and coaching company. So we have a team of 15 different therapists from different parts of the world, speaking different languages, who are all available to help individuals based on like package subscriptions to our services. One thing that we're trying to do, because obviously, you know, therapy and coaching is such a broad market now with so many different players in the game who are offering different amazing things. What we're personally trying to do is we're trying to bring in hybrid packages where people not only get the empathy of like a human being, the knowledge of a therapist, but also like the practicality of coaching. Because what I found, because I've had different therapy experiences through my life and also different like personal coaching experiences, and what I felt the golf was therapy, I felt very listened to and I felt very attended to, and it was nice and it was kind of comfortable. But then that comfort didn't actually lead to me changing my action. So then the coaching part of things, it was all about the action and moving forward. But then the behaviors that I was exhibiting, they come from somewhere. So just to look at the behavior is not to fix the problem. So when we started to think, okay, well, what is the solution to me, first of all? That was like, okay, me, why is my brain working like this? Let's create a hybrid package where we're getting kind of all three elements of what human beings need. And then having to create bespoke packages for different people. Like, everyone's unique, and I think it's something that sometimes is a little bit overlooked. We developed this blueprint for everyone. And yet each individual has their own beautiful, unique experiences. Yeah, they're similar. And maybe if you mix the words about, you could probably put them into a blueprint. But people's subjective experiences are very real and very challenging and very potent for themselves. So we were like, okay, let's create a package that's awesome. We wanted to make sure whatever we do actually works over a long period of time. We're not into short term, oh my God, we had one therapy session, oh, I fixed you, I did it all. We're into long-term solutions that are gonna actually create the change that people want in their lives. So like, that's why we only offer packages. We're not offering one-off sessions, because I've experienced one-off sessions, and what would happen is when I would feel the need to have a one-off session would be probably when I'm in an okay-ish state. And then the second side of things was I would then be in a worse state. I don't really wanna speak to anyone about it. So we decided, okay, let's create packages which give people an amount of access to different people as much as they want, depending on what they can kind of afford as well. So that's what we created. And also, obviously, I'm in the UK, so we do have the NHS and we have like access to free healthcare, but there were so many challenges in terms of being able to gain access to different people. So we wanted to go, okay, how can we create something that is basically affordable to as many people as humanly possible, because it has to have value, so it has to have a monetary value to it, but is also like the best package possible for people. So that's what we endeavored to create. And yeah, over a period of time, we continue to fine tune. We work on every little beautiful detail because we are looking to make this as useful and as practical for people as possible. And I mean, so far we have like a 98% success rate. And what that means, obviously, because there's no end to this goal. It's not like, oh, we fixed you, well done. It's more of a success rate. We're looking at different outcome measures that people are trying to achieve, and which we're achieving them over a period of time. So basically, when you're signing up with us, we're getting results. We're getting people to get to where they want to be, understanding that there's always going to be challenges in your life because that's the nature and beauty of life. But as long as we have the equipment, the tools, and just the kind of awareness to deal with these things, you can start to be the most adaptable human being ever. And you start to find contentment and happiness in the most simple, beautiful things.
So when you talk about the hybrid, the mashing together of the coaching and the therapy, which I think is brilliant, by the way, are you talking about that's like, so if I, let's just take me as an example, I come to you guys, I want therapy. Are you then assigning me a coach and a therapist? Or are you assigning me someone who's trained?
Yes, so each one of our therapists are trained as coaches as well. Because One of the things that we really want to implement is when you, I mean, a lot of people here will know, if you go for a coaching qualification, it can be like 2 weeks to a month. And although that gives you some form of qualification to help people, absolutely, it's not the same as having like, I mean, in psychology, most of the time you need 5 years worth of education in the field to be able to practice. So what we wanted to do, we wanted to have that practicality element of coaches are very good at going, okay, let's move forward, let's move forward, let's move forward, and kind of not looking so much at the past. But with the therapy element, you then have the theory and the knowledge. So instead of just you having that kind of full steam ahead approach, which doesn't necessarily take into consideration people's level and where they're at, what you would find is because the therapists are able to moderate this and go, okay, maybe I need to tone down here, maybe we can push a little bit harder later down the line, it created the perfect package. Because one of the things that I believe in more than anything is that if you're starting out in, for example, football, for me to teach you the technicalities of a Ronaldo free kick is pointless. It's going to get lost over you. If anything, it might make things worse. So what we have to do is we have to match our level of expertise and personal development that we're offering you and exercises that we want you to do with the level of personal development you're at. So if you're that kid, let's just kick the ball first. Let's just start kicking the ball. There'll be a moment where you're able to hit that amazing free kick, no doubt. But at the start, let's just kick the ball. Let's just go through those shorter term processes, because the perfect area of growth is just above the level you're at. It's not way above, because then it's just, it doesn't work. You know, I'm sure you've seen it in your line of field. If you see people, what do they start out with? Oh, let's get up at 4 a.m. Let's go gym. Let's meditate. Let's do all these amazing things. And it's just too much. So what happens is people lose trust with themselves, and then they just start to go down this kind of vicious cycle of not really achieving what they want to achieve.
Yeah, I think that's great what you said as well about just putting it at that level above, because as you are aware, or you can imagine, someone who's going through an anxiety disorder, they do want a quick fix, unfortunately, because they're dealing with these uncomfortable symptoms all the time. However, by doing these drastic things often, like you say, that often results in failure, which can then take a setback on the journey to recovery. So I do like that short-term goals and reinforcing that every step forward is still the same step in the same direction. Lots of people asking us to get onto the questions. So I'm going to get onto some of the questions. We'll try and get as many done as possible. So if you just give your experience, maybe personal or something you've seen with your coaches, why do I get anxious when I hit the bed ready to sleep? Is there a way to deal with it? And I'll give an answer as well. So if I just start, normally when we're dealing with anxiety during the day, we're often distracted by the workplace, relationship that we're in, could anything, or your daily activities. When it comes to the nighttime, and all that has stopped, you put your phone down, you turn the TV off, what are you left with? You're just left with your thoughts and your physical sensations. For someone who's been distracting themselves throughout the day, what you find then is that you then start to focus inwards, so on that inward physical sensations and those thoughts, and that's where the anxiety loop can start, and that's where we get heightened anxiety.
That's a top-notch answer, that is, Dino. That's amazing. It's almost like you're an expert in this field. I mean, first of all, thanks Rhea for your question. I just mirror everything that Dean said. You know, as we say, like, most of the day we go through this distraction. If you actually look at your day as a whole, for example, my day, I get up with an alarm noise straight away. So often I put my headphones in, I'll go in the car, the radio will be on, I'll go to work, someone will be talking to me the whole day. There's no time where you actually have silence throughout the day. So when your pillow hits their head, what a lot of people tend to do is that they've got Netflix on in the background because they need that noise just to subtly numb their thoughts. And what you need at some point, if you want to actually go and move forward on your journey and progress, you need to address that silence. You need to be in that zone of silence. That's why COVID-19 was one of the most challenging things for people, because they had silence in their own head. They were alone with their thoughts, which became so challenging. So obviously it's okay in the early stages to be able to feel happy and do the stuff that kind of makes you feel okay. But at some point, you have to address the uncomfort with silence. So you can do that through meditative practice, lots of different means, but ultimately addressing the reason why you've built up this anxiety disorder.
No, 100%. I think that's a fantastic answer. Because like you say, that podcast that's on in the background, that TV that's on in the background, what it's actually doing is teaching the brain that silence is dangerous, that we need to avoid silence at all cost. And what that does, it reinforces the anxiety. And you find that when you don't have that podcast on or the TV is turned off, then the anxiety comes. So it is about sitting with the uncertainty, understanding the anxiety. And like you said, meditation, very, very good way of sitting with the silence, sitting with the thoughts, sitting with the physical symptoms, and just allowing the anxiety to go through you, allowing the process to go through you, and just reinforcing that, yes, it's uncomfortable, but uncomfortable doesn't equal danger. Next question. I'll let you start with this one, my friend. How to stop overthinking physical sensations in fear of an anxiety attack, raging heart and vertigo, etc. So if you have a fear of physical symptoms, or you've got these anxious thoughts, what techniques would you use, or what have you heard your coaches use?
Thank you so much, Rose, for the question. I think if I look at this in the most basic way possible, we talked about meditation, and meditation is a really broad term. So I want to get a little bit more specific, okay? A lot of people would think of meditation as some airy-fairy thing. Oh, I'm really spiritual. Oh, I meditate, all this stuff. In reality, you can use meditation as a mental training exercise. What you actually will find if you break yourself down is that your thoughts are controlling your action as opposed to you controlling your thoughts. So what a lot of people don't realize, and I don't know if you'd agree with me, Dean, is that your thoughts, most of the time, are there to prevent action. So when you have a scenario happen in your head, your thoughts will go every scenario from this scenario that it wants to figure out what's gonna happen. So it'll give you all these scenarios. But those aren't what you're thinking. That's just different options for you, essentially. So then your conscious aspect of you will pick and select the right thing. So what I would say is this: if you wanna start meditating, which I think most people should, if it's something you'd be into, approach it like this. Simply breathe in and out through the nose, okay? Let's keep it as simple as possible. In and out through the nose, feel the coldness of the air in and the warmth of the air out. Maybe feel your chest expanding. What's gonna happen within a minute or maybe 30 seconds is you're gonna go, oh, I've got to email Sally tomorrow, I've got to do this thing, I've got to do this other thing. It's gonna happen straight away, all right? Your brain's gonna go to that place. Your only aim is to go, oh, I'm meditating right now, and return to the breath. That's your only aim. You don't get angry with yourself. You don't judge yourself. You just return to the breath. This little loop of thought is very, very important. For most people, where they start, this is going to be a big loop of thought. It's going to be, whoa, a big loop of thought. The aim over a period of time is to start to reduce this kind of train of thought. So over a period of time, what you'll find is you are now in control of your thoughts. Your thoughts will happen, but you will be able to observe them as you'd observe a passing cloud. But you have to, with meditation, this is super important, intensity is better. So what most people should try and do is do it consistently over a period of time. If you do an hour once a week, it's not as beneficial as if you do 5 minutes every single day, because you need to do consistent training. So that would be, at the most basic level, yeah, the first thing I'd advise.
No, that's wonderful. And I like that idea of really putting in as a daily practice, daily routine, because that's what it is. It's a life skill. These things, these techniques that we use to reduce anxiety aren't techniques where you do them once and then the anxiety goes away. Unfortunately, obviously, we all wish that that was the case, but these are techniques that have to be trained upon, like any new technique. Like you mentioned the football earlier, and you have to practice them every day. And what you find over time is that the anxiety will start to reduce. The only thing I'd add to that is saying that when we're dealing with anxiety, a lot of the time we are answering back these irrational or anxious thoughts. So we're getting entangled with it. And when we do that, we're actually showing the brain that that thought is important. And what happens is it'll start to create anxiety. So I often say, don't get entangled with the thought. So acknowledge it, notice that it's there, but don't speak back to it. You don't have to pass judgment on it. You can label it that it's an anxious thought. But like you say, if you're meditating and you're in the middle of doing your breath work, just focus on that anchor and come back to the breath and realize it's, like I say, it's okay to label that you're anxious, label that it's an anxious thought, but bring it back. The goal of anxiety is not to never feel anxious. It's not to never have an anxious thought. It is our reaction to when we do feel anxious and the reaction to when we do get these thinking. Next question. So this is a good question because I imagine your therapists definitely deal with agoraphobia. So for people who don't know what that is, it's where your safe space becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. So say you have a panic attack in a shopping center, you'll start to avoid the shopping center. Then you'll avoid going driving towards the shopping center, and it can get to as bad as you're not able to leave the house in fear of anxiety and panic occurring. So I guess your therapy is deal with exposure therapy and helping people with anxiety and panic attacks. So what advice would you give to someone who really wants to start doing exposure therapy, but I guess they're afraid of the anxiety?
It's a really complex question, and it's a beautiful question also. I think the biggest challenge is anxiety is a hormonal response. So it's so powerful and it's so potent that a lot of the time, if we're trying to approach a really powerful, potent thought, it's very actually difficult to overcome that. The same way that, you know, someone might feel so angry that they know they shouldn't do that thing, but they do it anyway. Because the hormonal response is so high, it's very difficult to approach this in a way where you attack the issue directly. What I would say with a lot of these things is the moment, as we said before, the moment is not the issue. The moment where you have the lapse, the kind of panic attack, that's not the issue that we should really be focusing on. We want to build coping mechanisms around that that reduce the kind of potency of that as much as possible. But the main thing we want to do at the most basic level possible is optimize the likelihood that we're going to make good decisions. Optimize the likelihood that we're going to respond the best possible way to anxiety. So again, with a lot of our methods, we're not trying to overcomplicate this stuff. We're trying to make it as simple as possible. So for example, there's a really famous like Jordan Peterson story where he talks about someone who really feared elevators. And the aim at the start was she couldn't go in within 20 feet of the elevator. And then it was like, oh, well, do you feel comfortable moving two steps forward? Do you feel comfortable moving a little bit further? And it's that gradual exposure. But with that exposure has to come a level of personal development. So alongside gradually getting closer and exposing someone to that thing they're fearful of, it has to come alongside with what are you doing at a fundamental base ground level to improve how you're cognitively functioning. So that means all the basics of sleep, nutrition, exercise, meditation, sunlight. Making sure those things are optimized will improve the likelihood of this situation by like 50%. So alongside gradually increasing the exposure, it's also the fundamentals of if you just have the same stimulus over and over again, yeah, you might become less susceptible to it. But the main thing, the absolute main thing is what's the likelihood that the next time you're exposed to it is going to be better? And that means your cognitive function wants to be better as well.
That's really interesting because you do hear some people say that, oh no, you just got to face the fear. You just got to lean into the anxiety. However, like you say, when the anxiety is firing off at this high intense level, it's for some people, it can be too much to do that. It can be too overwhelming. So what we do, and there's many different aspects and different ways of doing it. Some people go down the medication route, and for them, it might work for them. It might reduce the anxiety to then be able to start to do gradual exposure. But I love what you're saying, which is we have this overall stress, and people, we see the stress bucket. Dr. Julie, for example, she gives a good analogy. If we have the everyday stress building up, and then at some point, you said it earlier, didn't you, that it overpours, and then when that overpours, it has to come out somewhere, and it comes out with excessive anxiety. And if we have too much stress and we don't have these things in place, we don't have the right amount of sleep and the right amount of nutrition, that's just going to add to to the already difficult situation that you're going in. So I love this overall approach that you guys are going with in reducing that stress level, which will reduce the anxiety. So then when you're in that moment, you're better equipped to start putting each foot forward. And like, it's fantastic that you guys are taking it from that holistic approach as well, because with medication, we know there might be side effects, but obviously with all the aspects of things in your lifestyle that you guys are saying, the side effects
it's
are
so interesting. I was listening to like Andrew Huberman, like he's obviously a big character at the minute in the social media space and like in the neuroscience space. And he was talking about if sleep was a drug, we'd all be popping the pills to do it. We miss the essentials of, because it's a little bit harder and a little bit more challenging, we don't want to do it. It's not in pill form. But if we saw these things as almost our medication, like I look at myself and I go, meditation is my prescription. I take it every single day and I treat it as such that I prioritize it over everything else, because I know what is the likelihood of Jack being mentally healthy and performing mentally well. Okay. These things make me do that the best way possible. So that is now my medication that I take every single day. And that's how we approach things. And, you know, I am always going to try and make things as basic and simple as possible, because you want to test out the easiest variable first. You want to make as little change as possible that's acceptable to the person. It's like what you said, anxiety is so powerful. Like, you know, when I had that moment on the field, I was like, this is horrendous. There was nothing that could get me out of it. There was no one talking to me. Nothing would have worked to get me out of it. The only thing that could work is if it's at a certain level, you're quite right, a level of medication that is the lowest dose possible that's going to make something like CBT or exposure therapy work. Or how do we optimize all the nuancy stuff in our life that's going to make us perform better?
And I think that's important with anxiety and hope for people who are going through an anxiety disorder, that there is all these options available to people, that it is highly treatable, highly manageable. But I love what you said earlier, that it is an individual approach. It isn't just, oh, well, person A takes medication, which means person B and C does. Unfortunately, person A may have benefits from medication, but person B may their anxiety worse. And that's okay. We have to find the right individual approach for each individual and really evaluate them to see what's going to work best. Is it going to be CBT therapy? Is it going to be exercise, meditation, mindfulness, and curate that path forward using the correct techniques for that person? And I just love that approach that you guys go with. It's almost like an evaluation for each person.
Yeah, 100%. That you bring on, like, you know, I think, as I say, we just overlook the basic stuff so often just because it's there. We just overlook it so much. Like, there was a study that recently came out in Australia that shows that exercise is ranked alongside like therapy and like meditation is some of the top things that can help you with anxiety. So it's like we're missing out on these easy wins, and I want people to basically do the easy wins, see the effect it has on their life, and then they can start to change the more nuancy, more challenging stuff.
Well, in large scientific studies, exercise was seen to perform as good as anti-anxiety medication. So if you actually think about that, like you say, that doesn't mean going to the gym 7 times a week. That means just doing what level of exercise is comfortable for you. Just get the body moving. Again, I'm just going back to the start of this episode where you said when you feel anxiety, it's that extra energy that you then have to put into something. I'm very similar in that sense. When I get anxious, I have this excess energy that I have to burn, and I turn to exercise, and it really, really is beneficial for anxiety. And I really stress for anyone who's feeling anxious, if you're not moving, that is having a detrimental effect on your anxiety. Obviously, there's some people who may not be able to move, and yes, that we need to approach that differently. But for the majority of people who can get up, can get moving, that is so, so important and so helpful for someone going through an anxiety disorder.
Yeah, you're quite right.
I'm going to do one more question just before you let everyone know how they can find you on Instagram and how they can can access your wonderful therapy and coaching. So the last question is, I get fear of being on my own. Do you have any tips?
Sharon, first of all, thank you for the question. When you're by yourself, there's two aspects of being by yourself. Sometimes the moments where we grow the most are when we are by ourselves. So we have to understand what aspect of being by ourselves we are starting to fear. Is it the actual fear that when we're starting to grow and we're starting to change and we're starting to develop, there's some fear in that because we're moving towards someone that we're not used to. There's fear in difference, there's fear in moving towards something that's strange. If there's a personal like kind of fear of being alone, it's most likely because, again, when you're around people, there's a certain numbing aspect to it. There's a certain aspect where we're constantly being, there's noise constantly. There's no room for silence. And the likelihood that if you're fearing being by yourself, it's less about like the condition or the environment. It's more likely that you're alone with your own thoughts and you're questioning what perhaps those thoughts might entail. So what I would say with something like that is starting to allow those thoughts to come in very small doses and seeing how you're able to approach them. For example, hate to be that guy and half fun about meditation, but if you're in, for example, you could go to a park where there's kind of people around and you could put your headphones in so it's relatively quiet and you could sit there still and you could start that process of breathing in and out through your nose and you could exhibit what the silence in your mind feels like. But you immediately can get out of that if there was anything that was to happen that you'd be worried about. So almost the exposure therapy type with this is exposing yourself to that lowest minimal dose that you find acceptable. And then from that, you start to test yourself and you start to push the boundaries further.
No, fantastic. Gradual exposure therapy sounds fantastic in that sense. And it's very similar to one of the last questions where someone mentioned about nighttime anxiety, because again, left alone with your thoughts and physical sensations. I'll just add to it that a lot of people, when they're dealing with anxiety, they have this irrational fear, which is normally an anxious thought, saying that what happens if I lose control? What happens if this time it's not anxiety? When that's happening, just understand that those are just anxious thoughts and the sensations that you're feeling from that is the way that you're reacting those thoughts. So you don't have to apologize for being that meditation guy, because I am definitely on the same page. Mindfulness and meditation are so important and so helpful and really basic tools that people can start to learn to understand the fundamentals of, but then go into it deeper and learn the techniques to help them overall. So for everyone who wants to follow everything that you're doing on Instagram,
delightful.
Where
so
can they find
our
you?
Our company page is at awaken.me. So that's at awkn.me. We do content every single day. We're trying to give as much free content away as possible, because obviously we understand that not everyone is fortunate enough to be able to afford therapy. So we're trying to give people little snippets of information that hopefully people can exhibit in their lives. And personally, maybe I'm a motivational guy. I do a lot of stuff on my own personal channel. My personal channel is at JackHayworth3, which I'm sure we can link in the bio or something that someone can see instead of trying to spell my name up.
Yeah, fantastic. What I'll do, I'll link both on this actual video on Instagram. Also, if someone wants to approach your company for therapy, is it available worldwide?
Of course. So yeah, we are available worldwide. We're an online therapy and coaching platform. So we have a link in our bio, which is you can either book in personally with me or you can book in with one of our therapists. What I would usually suggest is DM us, because it gives us a little bit more context of your situation and your perhaps personal challenge, because this isn't a one-size-fits-all approach. Your unique challenge is going to have a unique solution. And having that conversation first in the DMs, and our DMs are always answered by one of our therapists, so you're going to get sort of a point of contact, which is a high-level expertise already, is going to help you find a solution. And you might want to go with this therapist or me, or whoever you want to go with is going to be best matched to your scenario.
That's wonderful. Yeah, so Jack, thank you so much for your time. Love the answers to the questions. Yeah. Great to see you in person as well. We've been connecting through messages. And guys, go and support Jack. Go and support everything that he's doing, because they're doing some amazing work. And it's amazing seeing people coming together, like you say, from your own experience and your own physical sensations of anxiety and understanding and feeling the pain that, that people are going through when they're dealing with anxiety, to then use that to do better for as many people as possible. That's wonderful. And yeah, I've had a look at your platform on Instagram as well, and it's great seeing the psychoeducation. So it's great how you put those snippets together. Because like you say, for everyone, therapy isn't accessible, but what you guys are doing, you're bridging the gap and you're giving as much information out as possible, which I think we all need. So guys, this Instagram live will be on the platform. We'll also get it converted over to the podcast channel, DLC Live. That should be available in the next 7 days. And Jack, yeah, just thank you for everything that you're doing.
Yeah, appreciate and, you, Dino. Thank you for having me on, man. And yeah, I appreciate what you're doing. You're doing special things too.
No problem. Excellent.
Take it easy, mate.
Thanks, bye-bye. Jack. Look after.